Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. My name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration and criminal and business attorney in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Today, I'm going to be doing a short episode on what's called DACA 2 and DAPA. On or about November 20th, 2014, the President of the United States implemented two executive orders. One of them is what's called DAPA, and that would help parents who are in the USA. They have children, they don't have any crimes that would make them inadmissible, would allow them to live and work in the USA. They would have to be in the USA before 1-1-2010. No crimes, have children in the USA, no educational requirement, and you have to apply for work permit, pay your taxes, etc. Also, the president implemented what's called DACA 2. DACA 2 because DACA 1 was implemented back in on about June 15th of 2012. That has an educational component. The student had to be in school or graduated from school, and they have to have had arrived before June 15, 2007. They had to be under the age of 16, 15 plus, but not 16. So DAPA 2 was implemented on 1-1 negative. You have to be here 1-1-10 to qualify, and the school requirement remains there. It was a little more relaxed because it doesn't matter what age you are now, but you had to come in before the age of before 16, in other words, 15 plus. Anyway, both programs, the DACA 2 was to be implemented on February 18th of 2015, and DAPA for the parents should have been implemented May 20th, 2015. On or about February 16th, 2015, a judge in Texas blocked both measures. So the parties being state of Texas et al., some 26 states, Texas being the lead state, decided to sue the federal government of the United States. So the caption is Texas v. United States. So the judge issued what's called an injunction. An injunction basically is for you to do something, or the court is forcing you to do something or prohibiting you from doing another thing. Anyway, the United States decided to take an appeal to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Federal courts are grouped into districts. There are about 11 districts. And Texas, Louisiana, a few other states grouped together to form the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So the matter was heard by the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit decided that it was going to not allow the executive orders to go forward. The United States, as I said earlier, took an appeal to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals on the procedural grounds that the state governments do not have standing to bring the action as it relates to immigration matters. And the federal government's position is that immigration is exclusively to the federal government, and the states basically cannot challenge the federal government's desire to streamline the removal process in the USA. Anyway, the Fifth Circuit decided that they were going to keep the injunction in place, and they decided that they were going to hear arguments on the substance, certain substantive issues. And after those arguments, the Fifth Circuit decided that it was going to leave the injunction in place because it believed that the states have standing to bring an action against the federal government in this matter. And the Fifth Circuit decided to sit on the case for more than than 4 months. Normally, they try to make a decision in 2 months. They had a lot of demonstration across the street from the Fifth Circuit in Louisiana. The Fifth Circuit did make a decision, and it was in favor of the states against the federal government. The federal government took an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and everyone was concerned because usually at the Supreme Court, they cannot hear all matters that are presented to the U.S. Supreme Court. So they have to, on their own decision, a doctrine called the writ of certiorari, decide if it wants to hear a particular case. Luckily, the Supreme Court decided that it was going to take up the DACA and DAPR measures, and so the court voted, and the matter is scheduled for oral arguments on April 18th, 2016. The court usually decides or issues decision sometime in June for the present term. The court calendar ends on June 30th. So everybody is hopeful that the court would issue a favorable decision to the United States against Texas and the other states. Unfortunately, Justice Scalia, a conservative justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, a well-respected justice, unfortunately passed away suddenly in February. And no one knows how the case would have decided. But one thing for sure, if all the justices vote in the to decide the case, and four of them vote for United States and four of them vote for the states, then the matter will be a tied, and the decision at the Fifth Circuit remains intact. It won't be presidential, but it will remain intact. The justices, the Supreme Court could decide to delay a decision until a ninth person is added to the court, or they could decide to revisit the issue in the future. Individuals who believe that he or she is qualified to receive DACA 2 and DAPA, and some people may qualify for both, should continually put documents together, do not commit crimes, stay out of trouble. So if those benefits are granted in June, that they can quickly apply and receive those benefits. No one knows what's going to happen in the general elections. We all, as U.S. citizens, should register to vote and vote. And if your state allows early voting, make sure you go out and vote early, days before, weeks before, so that you can be a part of the political process. I wouldn't go so far as to say who you should vote for, and I would be out of line. That would be wrong of me to say you should vote for so and so. I'm not going to say who to vote for, just vote your conscience. But I believe everyone in the United States who is at the age and a U.S. citizen over 18 should exercise his or her constitutional rights. There were certain groups that were only allowed to vote in recent years, even 25, 50 years ago. Well, 50 years ago, that's still pretty recent in modern times. So it's recommended that you exercise your constitutional right to vote. The way one becomes a U.S. citizen, there are four ways, potentially four ways. If you're born in the USA, well, you're born a United States citizen. If you have one United States citizen parent and you were born outside of the USA, it's called birth abroad, outside of the USA. And you have to follow certain procedural requirements, and you're a U.S. citizen. The next one is what's called derivative citizenship. You usually find this in young children. Let's say the child immigrated with the parents at a young age, and at the time the parents, either parent, became a United States citizen, the child is still under the age of 18, the child has a green card, then the child automatically becomes a United States citizen. That's called derivative citizenship. And I don't know if most people, but a large group of people would fit in the category of what's called naturalization. You will have to generally have to wait 5 years after you receive your green card, and you have to take a test of civic geography, history of the U.S. government, and also you have to be a person of good moral character. You shouldn't have any crimes that are going to make you inadmissible to the United States. You should not be on probation for anything. If you owe the federal, state, local government any taxes, you should at least make payment arrangements and be truthful on this exam, right? So that's called naturalization. There's an oath ceremony, and you have to be a person of good moral character for the statutory period, which is usually 5 years. One thing I've learned in life is that every general rule, there are exceptions. So there are some exceptions. For example, if you got married to a United States citizen and the marriage is still going well, you might be able to apply to become a United States citizen at 3 years. If you're married to a United States citizen who is in the military and you have to be stationed abroad, it's still much shorter. If you're married to a United States citizen and your spouse is working for a company that's providing trade and commerce to the USA, there's basically no statutory period or no jurisdictional requirement. In all matters, you should check with a competent immigration attorney to help you with your case. The immigration laws are very complex, and having the wrong advice could be detrimental. In other words, you may not get the benefit. Sometimes people forbidden getting an immigration benefit. A benefit could be getting a green card, becoming a U.S. citizen, getting TPS, whatever the case may be, because of some sort of misrepresentation, which could be an act, a deliberate act, or an omission of material facts. So be careful. Get a lawyer to help you. As I said, my name is Marcus Jarvis. Our offices are in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. The firm works locally in Minnesota, nationally throughout the USA, and internationally. We bring individuals from around the world, whether it's Kenya, whether it's Tanzania, whether it's Egypt, Morocco, Peru, Argentina, India, China, you name it. We have brought people from around the world, Sweden, France, England, you name it. We can assist you with those matters. Give us a call, 763-425-5447. Visit our website at www.m-jlawlimited.com. Also co-authored a book called A Simple Guide to the Immigration Laws of the United States, What You Need to Know When You Come to America. If you think we can be of assistance to you, please give us a call. Thanks for listening. We look forward to hearing from you. Bye.